All right. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino here with Amy Alpeza. We are here to talk about a hot button topic today, and that is parenting plans. But thanks for being with us. We're happy you're here. Hopefully you'll get something important to take away from today. Amy, good to be here with you.
Yeah, as always, Michelle. This is such a hot button topic, and anybody with kids, obviously, you've thought about this so many times, is, you know, about your parenting plan. If the parenting plan that you choose is going to sustain your relationship, you know, with the other co-parent, and if it's going to be a good plan for you guys, you know, whether they're young, middle-aged, or, you know, high school age, right? So talk to me a little bit about, you said you were just doing a webinar about parenting
yeah.
plan. So
It's on my mind because I just did a webinar. You can get that if you go to our website and link to my YouTube channel. But we did a webinar talking about all of the ways you can change a parenting plan. And there were so many great questions. And so I thought it was a good thing for us to talk about today. I'll tell everybody this, like when we really start, everybody wants to say at a certain point, not everybody, but a lot of people want to say, I hate my parenting plan. It sucks. It's not working. The other parent's a jerk. I don't want to have to interact with them as much. Here's what I'm going to tell you, anybody listening, and you're probably not going to want to hear this, but it's true. It is hard to change your parenting plan. It is not easy if you don't agree. If you agree, sure, you guys can modify your plan and update it. So if you've got a really good relationship with your co-parent and you're like, hey, this isn't working and we want to clean these things up. Well, number one, you can make other agreements that are not in your parenting plan. So you might not need to do that. But number two, if you agree that there need to be some changes in updating it, you can totally do that by agreement. And that's not difficult to do. But what is difficult to do is if one person wants to change the plan and the other person doesn't, the legislature in Washington has acted to make it pretty difficult. And there's a reason for that, though. Parenting plans are supposed to be stability for kids. So if you're changing it every time somebody gets mad at the other parent, like the person impacted is your kid, right? So there are certain bars in place, basically, that you have to meet to be able to change your plan. And that's something a lot of people don't understand. The other thing I'm going to say, Amy, is people like to say, if they don't like their plan, or they didn't think ahead about what was going to be best, I'm kind of like, why'd you agree to it? And they'll be like, oh, I had to. I was forced to. I had to do it in mediation. No one forces you to do anything in mediation. Yeah. A lot of times people feel like, well, I had to, or I was going to have to go to a trial, or I was going to have to get a guardian ad litem. And that's something a lot of people out there don't want to hear, which is there are consequences. And if you can't come to an agreement, sometimes you have to make those tough choices and say, you know what? No, I don't want to agree to this. I am going to go to trial. I don't want to agree to this. I do want to get a custody evaluator to look into it. So if you're in that situation and you're listening, don't agree to a plan that you don't want, because it's going to be really hard to change it later. It's harder than getting a plan in the first place. Yeah. So,
well, is there a minimum time period that has to elapse before you can change it?
Great question. No, there's not a minimum time period. What there is a requirement for what we call a substantial change in circumstances. So that means there needs to be a substantial change that happened that wasn't contemplated or couldn't have been contemplated when you established your plan. And I can give some examples of that, but to your question, anytime I have somebody come and talk to me about a modification, if they're like, hey, my plan was entered last year, I'm going to tell them you have a really uphill battle. And unless something really major happened, like a parent went to jail or something crazy happened, you're probably not going to get a modification because it's so soon. Or if somebody moved, okay, maybe,
right.
But you know, the longer away from the initial parenting plan, more likely that there's really been a change you couldn't have contemplated. If something happens a few months later, it starts to look more like buyer's remorse to the court. And that is, I would say that is probably, you know, like the biggest thing. The court wants to leave a plan in place, not because they don't want you to have a plan that they want, that you want, but because they want your kids to have consistency. And a parenting plan dictates where your kids are living. It dictates how they spend holidays. It dictates decision-making, who's going to make decisions for your kids. And all of that is really, really important to stability. So that's just kind of something to think about. But yeah, you have to have substantial change in circumstances. And there's two kinds of modifications. There's major, which is like, I'm changing my child's primary residence or decision-making. And there's minor, like, I just want to update, an overnight here or there, or how we make decisions, or something minor that's not a major change. So there's two different kinds of modifications too. Minor is a lot easier to get than major, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Those are all great points. So tell me in terms of, let's say a new parent got a, or one of the parents got a new job, and that job requires them to maybe travel more often, or maybe they had to take like a reduction in pay, or I mean, are there things that obviously you would think so with your job?
You just hit right on some of the reasons for modification. You probably didn't even know it. Yes. I went over this a little bit earlier, and so they're kind of fresh in my mind. So here's the different ways that a plan can change. One of them is changes in a parent situation, which is what you're talking about. So let's say a parent, I've had this happen, especially like with sometimes parents that are firefighters or medical workers, where they work shift work and their schedule completely changes, right? Because they go to a different department or something. And next thing you know, they're on some crazy rotating schedule where they have overnights and they didn't have that before. That is definitely a basis to change a plan. Or let's say you have a situation where somebody loses a job, and to get another job, they have to move to a different area because that's where they could get a job, right? So then you can't do that 50-50 you were doing before if one parent lives in Tacoma and one lives in Everett, right? So yeah, changes with a parent's situation, whether it's employment changes that make the schedule not work, or whether it's a relocation, like a parent moving out of state or across the state, or even just to, a place where it makes it not feasible to have your kid in the car and on 405 for 2 hours every day. Like, those are all reasons to change a plan, if you didn't contemplate them. Or also another one is if one parent is dealing with like a medical issue, where maybe they have to go to some kind of skilled care or rehab. I've had that happen before. Then that could be a reason to change the plan. So one big category is changes with the parent's situation. That's true.
And so what if you like this last circumstance that you said where a parent has some type of a disability or something that they have to work through? If you go in and modify the parenting plan, once that let's say that person went through their 6 months of physical therapy, would the plan go back to the way it was before, or would you have to modify it again to bring it back?
Really good question. It would not automatically go back unless you built in contingencies for that. So I've had this happen a couple of times where it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen where it's like, oh, I had a parent that was in a, this was a few years ago. It's a good example though. Parent was in a really, he was on a motorcycle accident in West Seattle, and he was literally like, at first he was kind of in a coma, and then his mental cognition was impaired, and he had to like learn to walk again and eat again and all this stuff. And he had his kid 50% of the time. And so the mom was like, well, obviously he can't, and he's not able to make decisions. So there was a modification done, but we built into that modification, after a lot of back and forth, a lot of checkpoints and a lot of different things, that if he could do this, then he could get his time back, And the really the focus there was making sure it was safe for the child. And so making sure, like, he's going to be able to get out of bed if something happened. The kid was young, so he's going to be able to get out of bed if something happens in the middle of the night and she needs him, or he's going to be able to get her to school if he has that much time, or at least get her to a carpool situation or whatever. So it doesn't automatically revert, but there are different ways if you have that kind of situation where you can build in benchmarks. Another one is incarceration. This doesn't happen a lot, but I've had a few people where the other parties ended up in jail and they needed to change the parenting plan, even though that parent wouldn't be trying to exercise the time, because they need to be able to make decisions while the other parent's gone, or they need to be able to get a passport. They need to be able to travel with their child without a letter from the other parent. So if you have a parent that becomes like basically indisposed, you might need to do something so it doesn't, inhibit your ability to sign a consent form for your child if it says you have joint decision making in your parenting plan. So that can definitely come into place. I would say the other thing too that comes up a lot more than ever before, I think, is the other category, another category, which is changes in a child's needs. So if your kid ends up having like educate, this comes up a lot now, educational needs, kids on an IEP, kids on a 504 plan, there's learning disabilities that you never contemplated because you got divorced when your kid was three and now they're eight, really struggling in school, and one parent is better positioned to deal with those things, or lives near the school, or the other parent travels a lot for work and can't be at all those meetings. I mean, those can be reasons for changes, or like health and medical issues can be reasons for changes. The high conflict reasons aren't usually like child's needs or parent's situation as much as they are like parenting plan non-compliance. That's the one everybody thinks about, where one parent's like never following the parenting plan, being held in contempt for withholding the kid or making unilateral decisions. And then you can get a basis to change the plan if somebody violates the plan twice in 3 years and is held in contempt. So, there's also the other hot button one, which is detriment to the child. So if the current parenting plan, if there's evidence that your child has dealt with physical, emotional, sexual abuse by a parent or someone else in the home, like a new partner, that can be a reason to change the plan. So it's kind of like, is it the parent's situation? Is it the child's needs? Is it a safety reason? Or is it someone just like not following the plan? You got to have something though. It can't just be like, I hate this plan and I don't want to see him every Wednesday when we exchange. That's not going to
Yeah, no, that totally
cut
makes sense. And so just in terms of time, and I
it.
don't know if you want to, put maybe a cost to it, but if
Yeah.
somebody was considering a modification to a parenting plan, how much time should they consider that this would take?
I just got done talking about this, and I'm going to say the same thing I've said on this on the podcast before. It is such a marathon and not a sprint. You might be able to get, and someone asked me recently, well, should I change my parenting plan for a 17-year-old? And I was like, no, because by the time it's over, the court won't have jurisdiction because your kid will be 18 anyway. So the times when you really can act quickly and you should act quickly is if it's like a negative, detrimental situation for your child, then you should start a modification. You might be able to get a quick change with like an immediate restraining order going into place or a temporary order going into place. So you have an immediate change. And sometimes you might need to do that. A lot of times modifications start because an emergency has happened and you got to act. So that can happen quickly, but finalizing a parenting plan, you might have a case schedule in King County that puts your trial date out a year. So the question is going to be like, wow, am I going to get something in place right now to fix the situation while we work this out or while we investigate or try to settle or whatever? So it
Okay.
can take a long time, but there might be ways to get like a quick fix if you're in a dangerous situation, if that makes
Yeah,
sense to
no, it
parents.
definitely does. I didn't realize. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it probably could take just as much time to finalize a modification as a divorce itself, right?
Yeah, totally. And I, yes, exactly. And I tell people this, even though I don't want to hear it, but it's true, is that it's like I said earlier, it's easier to get a parenting plan the first time than it is to change an existing one. And it's parenting plan modifications are a minor modification where you guys agree and you just need someone to draft the paperwork, or you just need to work it out in a half day mediation. I'm not talking about those
Yeah.
modifications. Those are minor, and we do a lot of those and we can work those out. But major modifications where you're trying to change custody or change decision making are almost never agreed. It's almost always the result of something major happening, and they are some of the most expensive actions because you have to first have a motion to establish there's even cause to go forward. Then you probably have to have a motion for a temporary plan, or maybe it started with an emergency action. Then you've got to usually do some discovery to figure out what's going on, and you might have to have a custody evaluator, and eventually you're going to have to mediate because there's a requirement for that too. So it's like a case where people are really not aligned, and at least in a divorce, usually people are aligned that, okay, this is happening and we got
Right.
to work out some of these details. But in a parenting plan modification, very often everything is an absolute hot mess. So it can be really expensive. And I tell people that, but it's also something that sometimes is very necessary and worth it.
Sure.
So it's, I was just talking to someone earlier today about, hey, here's maybe an easier way to try to get a modification than going guns blazing into court. Sometimes you have to go guns blazing into court, but other times you might say, hey, we are at an impasse on all these issues. Our plan's not really working. We both know it. Why don't we just mediate rather than someone having to file a modification right now and see if we can work some of this out?
Oh,
And
yeah.
sometimes, even with really high conflict people, that's a faster way to let both people be part of the solution than, like 4 or 5 court hearings and an eventual trial. So,
Right. No,
yeah.
those are all really great points. So, before we wrap up, if you would give maybe your top, one to two things that people need to think about before considering if they're going to move forward with a parenting plan modification, what would they be?
Totally. Here's your three takeaways of concise advice. One is think about the change to the parenting plan from the perspective of whether it is in your child's best interest, not in your best interest, not it's con not convenient for me or it's a pain for me. think about whether the modification that you are seeking is really in your child's best interest. Because in Washington State, that's the number one thing the court's going to want to know is a parenting plan in the child's best interest. So try to frame your reason for a change from that perspective. The second thing, my next biggest one that you need to think about before you embark on a modification is look at the dispute resolution in your current parenting plan. Is the problem you're having related to something in the current plan? And if so, have you tried to use your dispute resolution, whether it's mediation or arbitration, to work it out? Because if not, and you file for a modification and you didn't try to resolve whatever the issue is, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just like somebody moved, we got to change this, or there's abuse, we got to change this. But
Sure.
very often, I'll see people go for a modification and they shouldn't have. They should have got done dispute resolution first. And then the court gets upset and is like, no, I'm dismissing this. And you got to go back and do this. And then if you really come back again, it can be like, it already looks like you failed. So,
Got it.
number one, best interest. Number two, make sure you have tried to exhaust dispute resolution first. And then number three is get advice because a modification has, like I've said, the substantial change in circumstances for meeting the adequate cause threshold is a legal standard that can be difficult to understand, and you need to consult with somebody to understand, do the facts in my case meet that threshold? If not, like I've talked to plenty of people and been like, you don't have it. This isn't going to go anywhere. So don't do this, and then I can give you some other solutions to try to deal with the situation. So one, best interest of the child, keep those in the forefront. Two, look at your dispute resolution before you move forward. And three, get advice that's very fact specific to your situation to determine if a modification is right for you.
Awesome. Those are
Yeah.
great tips. Thank you. Thank
Yeah.
you. And thanks for listening today, you guys. I hope our listeners got some good takeaways. And as always, reach out with any questions if you
Yep.
have follow-up questions.
We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino here with Amy Alpeza. We are here to talk about a hot button topic today, and that is parenting plans. But thanks for being with us. We're happy you're here. Hopefully, you'll get something important to take away from today. Amy, good to be here with you.
Yeah, as always, Michelle. Yeah, this is such a hot button topic. And anybody with kids, obviously you've thought about this so many times, is, about your parenting plan. If the parenting plan that you choose is going to sustain your relationship, with the other co-parent, and if it's going to be a good plan for you guys, whether they're young, middle-aged, or high school age, right? So talk to me a little bit about, you said you were just doing a webinar about parenting plan.
Yeah.
So,
It's on my mind because I just did a webinar. You can get that if you go to our website and link to my YouTube channel. But we did a webinar talking about all of the ways you can change a parenting plan. And there were so many great questions. And so I thought it was a good thing for us to talk about today. I'll tell everybody this, like when we really start, everybody wants to say at a certain point, not everybody, but a lot of people want to say, I hate my parenting plan. It sucks. It's not working. The other parent's a jerk. I don't want to have to interact with them as much. Here's what I'm going to tell you, anybody listening, and you're probably not going to want to hear this, but it's true. It is hard to change your parenting plan. It is not easy if you don't agree. If you agree, sure, you guys can modify your plan and update it. So if you've got a really good relationship with your co-parent and you're like, hey, this isn't working and we want to clean these things up, well, number one, you can make other agreements that are not in your parenting plan. So you might not need to do that. But number two, if you agree that there need to be some changes in updating it, you can totally do that by agreement, and that's not difficult to do. But what is difficult to do is if one person wants to change the plan and the other person doesn't, you have to, the legislature in Washington has acted to make it pretty difficult. And there's a reason for that, though. Parenting plans are supposed to be stability for kids. So if you're changing it every time somebody gets mad at the other parent, like that's it, the person impacted is your kid, right? So there are certain bars in place, basically, that you have to meet to be able to change your plan. And that's something a lot of people don't understand. The other thing I'm going to say, Amy, is people like to say, if they don't like their plan or they didn't think ahead about what was going to be best, I'm kind of like, why'd you agree to it? And they'll be like, oh, I had to. I was forced to. I had to. I had to do it in mediation. No one forces you to do anything in mediation. A lot of times people feel like, well, I had to, or I was going to have to go to a trial, or I was going to have to get a guardian ad litem. And that's something a lot of people out there don't want to hear, which is There are consequences. And if you can't come to an agreement, sometimes you have to make those tough choices and say, you know what? No, I don't want to agree to this. I am going to go to trial. I don't want to agree to this. I do want to get a custody evaluator to look into it. So if you're in that situation and you're listening, don't agree to a plan that you don't want because it's going to be really hard to change it later. It's harder than getting a plan in the first place.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's
is
something.
there a minimum time period that has to elapse before you can change it?
Great question. No, there's not a minimum time period. What there is a requirement for what we call a substantial change in circumstances. So that means there needs to be a substantial change that happened that wasn't contemplated or couldn't have been contemplated when you established your plan. And I can give some examples of that. But to your question, anytime I have somebody come and talk to me about a modification, if they're like, hey, my plan was entered last year, I'm going to tell them, you have a really uphill battle. And unless something really major happened, like a parent went to jail or something crazy happened, you're probably not going to get a modification because it's so soon. Or if somebody moved, okay, maybe.
Right.
But you know, the longer away from the initial parenting plan, more likely that there's really been a change you couldn't have contemplated. If something happens a few months later, it starts to look more like buyer's remorse to the court. And that is, I would say that is probably, you know, like the biggest thing. The court wants to leave a plan in place, not because they don't want you to have a plan that they want, that you want, but because they want your kids to have consistency. And a parenting plan dictates where your kids are living. It dictates how they spend holidays. It dictates decision making, who's going to make decisions for your kids. And all of that is really, really important to stability. So that's just kind of something to think about. But yeah, you have to have substantial change in circumstances. And there's two kinds of modifications. There's major, which is like I'm changing my child's primary residence or decision making. And there's minor, like I just want to update, you know, an overnight here or there, or how we make decisions, or something minor that's not a major change. So there's two different kinds of modifications, too. Minor is a lot easier to get than major, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Those are all great points. So tell me in terms of, let's say a new parent got a, or one of the parents got a new job, and that job requires them to maybe travel more often. Or maybe they had to take like a reduction in pay, or I mean, are there things that I don't
Yes.
know, you would think so with your job?
You just hit right on some of the reasons for modification. You probably didn't even know it. Yes. I went over this a little bit earlier, and so they're kind of fresh in my mind. So here's the different ways that a plan can change. One of them is changes in a parent's situation, which is what you're talking about. So let's say a parent, I've had this happen, especially like with sometimes parents that are firefighters or medical workers where they work shift work and their schedule completely changes, right? Because they go to a different department or something. And next thing you know, they're on some crazy rotating schedule where they have overnights and they didn't have that before. That is definitely a basis to change a plan. Or let's say you have a situation where somebody loses a job and to get another job, they have to move to a different area because that's where they could get a job, right? So then you can't do that 50-50 you were doing before if one parent lives in Tacoma and one lives in Everett, right? So yeah, changes with a parent's situation, whether it's employment changes that make the schedule not work, or whether it's a relocation, like a parent moving out of state or across the state, or even just to, you know, a place where it makes it not feasible to have your kid in the car and on 405 for 2 hours every day. Like those are all reasons to change a plan if you didn't contemplate them. Or also another one is if one parent is dealing with like a medical issue, you know, where maybe they have to go to some kind of skilled care or rehab. I've had that happen before. Then that could be a reason to change the plan. So one big category is changes with the parent's situation. That's true.
And so what if you like this last circumstance that you said where a parent has some type of a disability or something that they have to work through, if you go in and modify the parenting plan, once that let's say that person went through their 6 months of physical therapy, would the plan go back to the way it was before, or would you have to modify it again to bring it back?
Really good question. It would not automatically go back unless you built in contingencies for that. So I've had this happen a couple of times where It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen where it's like, oh, I had a parent that was in a, this was a few years ago. It's a good example though. Parent was in a really, he was on a motorcycle accident in West Seattle. And he was literally like, at first he was kind of in a coma and then his mental cognition was impaired and he had to like learn to walk again and eat again and all this stuff. And he had his kid 50% of the time. And so the mom was like, well, obviously he can't and he's not able to make decisions, so there was a modification done, but we built into that modification after a lot of back and forth a lot of checkpoints and a lot of different things that if he could do this then he could get his time back, you know. And the really the focus there was making sure it was safe for the child, and so making sure like, you know, he's going to be able to get out of bed if something happened. The kid was young, so he's going to be able to get out of bed if something happens in the middle of the night and she needs him, or he's going to be able to get her to school if he has that much time, or at least get her to a carpool situation or whatever. So it doesn't automatically revert, but there are different ways if you have that kind of situation where you can build in benchmarks. Another one is incarceration. This doesn't happen a lot, but I've had a few people where the other parties ended up in jail and they needed to change the parenting plan. Even though that parent wouldn't be trying to exercise the time because they need to be able to make decisions while the other parent's gone, or they need to be able to get a passport. They need to be able to travel with their child without a letter from the other parent. So if you have a parent that becomes like basically indisposed, you might need to do something so it doesn't, you know, inhibit your ability to sign a consent form for your child if it says you have joint decision making in your parenting plan. So that can definitely come into place. You know, I would say the other thing too that comes up a lot more than ever before, I think, is the other category, another category, which is changes in a child's needs. So if your kid ends up having like this comes up a lot now, educational needs, kids on an IEP, kids on a 504 plan, there's learning disabilities that you never contemplated because you got divorced when your kid was 3 and now they're 8, really struggling in school. And one parent is better positioned to deal with those things, or lives near the school, or the other parent travels a lot for work and can't be at all those meetings. I mean, those can be reasons for changes, or like health and medical issues can be reasons for changes. The high conflict reasons aren't usually like child's needs or parent's situation as much as they are like parenting plan non-compliance. That's the one everybody thinks about, where one parent's like never following the parenting plan, being held in contempt for withholding the kid or making unilateral decisions. And then you can get a basis to change the plan if somebody violates the plan twice in 3 years and is held in contempt. So, you know, there's also the other hot button one, which is detriment to the child. So if the current parenting plan, if there's evidence that your child has dealt with physical, emotional, sexual abuse by a parent or someone else in the home, like a new partner, that can be a reason to change the plan. So it's kind of like, is it the parent's situation? Is it the child's needs? Is it a safety reason? Or is it someone just like not following the plan? You got to have something though. It can't just be like, I hate this plan and I don't want to see him every Wednesday when we exchange. That's not going to
Yeah, no, that
cut
totally makes sense. And so just in terms of time, and I
it.
don't know if you want to, put maybe a cost to it, but if somebody was considering a modification to a parenting plan, how much time should they consider that this would take?
You know, I just got done talking about this, and I'm going to say the same thing I've said on this on the podcast before. It is such a marathon and not a sprint. You might be able to get, and someone asked me recently, well, should I change my parenting plan for a 17-year-old? And I was like, no, because by the time it's over, the court won't have jurisdiction because your kid will be 18 anyway. So the times when you really can act quickly and you should act quickly is if it's like a negative, detrimental situation for your child, then you should start a modification. You might be able to get a quick change with like an immediate restraining order going into place, or a temporary order going into place, so you have an immediate change. And sometimes you might need to do that. A lot of times modifications start because an emergency has happened and you got to act. So that can happen quickly, but finalizing a parenting plan, you might have a case schedule in King County that puts your trial date out a year. So the question is going to be like, wow, am I going to get something in place right now to fix the situation while we work this out, or while we investigate, or try to settle or whatever. So it can take a long time, but there might be ways to get like a quick fix if you're in a dangerous situation, if that makes
Yeah,
sense to
no, it
parents.
definitely does. I didn't realize. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it probably could take just as much time to finalize a modification as a divorce itself, right?
Yeah, totally. And I, yes, exactly. And I tell people this even though I don't want to hear it, but it's true, is that it's like I said earlier, it's easier to get a parenting plan the first time than it is to change an existing one. And it's parenting plan modifications are a minor modification where you guys agree and you just need someone to draft the paperwork, or you just need to work it out in a half day mediation. I'm not talking about those modifications. Those are minor, and we do a lot of those and we can work those out. But major modifications where you're trying to change custody or change decision making are almost never agreed. It's almost always the result of something major happening, and they are some of the most expensive actions because you have to first have a motion to establish there's even cause to go forward. Then you probably have to have a motion for a temporary plan, or maybe it started with an emergency action. Then you've got to usually do some discovery to figure out what's going on, and you might have to have a custody evaluator, and eventually you're going to have to mediate because there's a requirement for that too. So it's like a case where people are really not aligned, and at least in a divorce, usually people are aligned that, okay, this is happening, and we got to work out some of these details. But in a parenting plan modification, very often everything is an absolute hot mess. So it can be really expensive. And I tell people that, but it's also something that sometimes is very necessary and worth it. So I was just talking to someone earlier today about, hey, here's maybe an easier way to try to get a modification than going guns blazing into court. Sometimes you have to go guns blazing into court, but other times you might say, hey, we are at an impasse on all these issues. Our plan's not really working. We both know it. Why don't we just mediate rather than someone having to file a modification right now and see if we can work some of this out? And sometimes, even with really high conflict people, that's a faster way to let both people be part of the solution than, like 4 or 5 court hearings and an eventual trial. So,
No, those are all really great points. So, before we wrap up, if you would give maybe your top, 1 to 2 things that people need to think about before considering if they're going to move forward with a parenting plan modification, what would they be?
Totally. Here's your 3 takeaways of concise advice. One is think about the change to the parenting plan from the perspective of whether it is in your child's best interest, not in your best interest, not it's con not convenient for me or it's a pain for me. Think about whether the modification that you are seeking is really in your child's best interest, because in Washington State, that's the number one thing the court's going to want to know is a parenting plan in the child's best interest. So try to frame your reason for a change from that perspective. The second thing, my next biggest one that you need to think about before you embark on a modification is look at the dispute resolution in your current parenting plan. Is the problem you're having related to something in the current plan? And if so, have you tried to use your dispute resolution, whether it's mediation or arbitration, to work it out? Because if not, and you file for a modification and you didn't try to resolve whatever the issue is, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just like somebody moved, we got to change this, or there's abuse, we got to change this. But very often I'll see people go for a modification and they shouldn't have. They should have got done dispute resolution first. And then the court gets upset and is like, no, I'm dismissing this. And you got to go back and do this. And then if you really come back again, it can be like, it already looks like you failed. So,
Got it.
number one, best interest. Number two, make sure you have tried to exhaust dispute resolution first. And then number three is get advice, because a modification has, like I've said, the substantial change in circumstances for meeting the adequate cause threshold is a legal standard that can be difficult to understand, and you need to consult with somebody to understand, do the facts in my case meet that threshold? If not, like I've talked to plenty of people and been like, you don't have it. This isn't going to go anywhere. So don't do this, and then I can give you some other solutions to try to deal with the situation. So one, best interest of the child, keep those in the forefront. Two, look at your dispute resolution before you move forward. And three, get advice that's very fact specific to your situation to determine if a modification is right for you.
Awesome. Those are great tips. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for listening today, you guys. I hope our listeners got some good takeaways. And as always, reach out with any questions if you have follow-up questions.
We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.